Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Our text this morning brings us to the last event every day in the life of a sheep. It also brings into focus one of the most touching events in the sheep's life. Thou anointest my head with oil. It is called by the shepherds in Israel the rotting of the sheep. Now it sounds like they're beating them, and that's not really the case. It's called rotting the sheep, and the shepherd of Israel, the Lord himself, uses this sympathetic picture to help Israel understand that the day is coming when he, as the shepherd of Israel, will cause his sheep to pass under his rod. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 38. He says that Israel will one day come and pass under the rod. And that's the picture that the psalmist David is trying to draw for our attention. You remember that the sheep are up on the Alpine Highland, up on the tableland, and every day the shepherd takes his sheep out of the fold. He takes them on a circular route, a way out, half a day's journey from the fold, and then he brings them back to the fold, and that large circle, every day the same, but every day in a different place. Each day the big loop, each day in a different part of the great pasture that he has chosen for his sheep. It's called the table that the shepherd has provided for his sheep. At the end of the day, all the sheep will gather at the entrance to this particular fold where the shepherd stands. The shepherd is there and he stands in the doorway. He's at the entrance. And because the entrance is only a couple of feet wide when he stands across the doorway, none of the sheep can enter in. And he stands in front and the door is closed. Then the time will come and he will call his sheep by name and together. And he turns a little bit to the side and he then allows one sheep after the other to pass in front of him. The rod will stop the next sheep and he will minister to that sheep. It's a special time. It's an intimate few minutes that the shepherd has with each of his sheep, no matter how many he has. And it's in that kind of context that during this special time of ministry, the psalmist David says, Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now, that brief visit will turn up any sores. It will turn up scratches and bruises and briars that are found in the sheep's wool, and the oil that is poured on the sheep's head will soothe, will heal, and it will be a source of ministering to the specific needs of that individual sheep. Some will not have gotten enough water during the day, and they will come without bruises and without scratches, but they will come and it will be their turn, and the shepherd speaks the name of that sheep, and the shepherd pulls back the eyelids and looks into the eye, looks into the mouth, and sees that this sheep is not sick, but is weary. He's been traveling all day, and he hasn't gotten enough water. So the shepherd will turn around just a little bit and take a two-handled cup, and he will plunge it into the clay water pot that is right there, pull it out, and put it in front of the sheep, and the sheep will put his face and nose down into that cool water, and he will drink to his satisfaction. And then when the sheep has been satisfied, the rod is lifted, the refreshed and comforted sheep scampers into the safety of the fold, there to spend the night. That's the picture, that's the context of which the psalmist says, Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You can see how the Lord Jesus Christ, when he says in the Gospel of John chapter 10, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall enjoy the pasture. He shall go in and out and find pasture. And so the shepherd at the close of the day, having ministered to all of his sheep, he himself will lie down across the doorway of this open fold, and there under the starry skies, the sheep will rest secure. That's the picture. That's the drawing that the author has here. And there are these two ministries that I would like to look at this morning and see if we can't glean some useful and helpful information that would be a source of blessing and encouragement to us. They're a source of great rejoicing to the sheep. For them to stop and spend those few moments with the shepherd, to hear their name spoken, to receive the refreshing oil and the satisfying cup of water, the sheep responds with real joy. And so I put over this part of the verse, rejoicing. The sheep rejoicing. It's a time of special blessing. And I would like to consider the oil of assurance and the cup of abundance. These two things are what the shepherd wishes to bestow upon his sheep. Now, the brief meeting with the sheep each day is a constant reminder of the tender care, of the intimate concern that the shepherd has for the sheep. At this particular time that the sheep are numbered by the shepherd, and he counts from 1 to 2 to 3, and in order they come through, and he knows immediately when one sheep is lost. And Jesus himself draws out of this very picture the time when the shepherd has 99 sheep, or has 100 and one is lost. The songwriter gives it to us, we'll never know how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through where he found his sheep that were lost. But that's the picture. Before ever he would lay down across the doorway of the fold, he would make sure that all of his 100 sheep are safely tucked away. Now, the sheep who loves the shepherd looks forward to that time. The sheep who really enjoys the attention and those simple moments, you know, that simple meeting, he looks forward all day to those few moments. There may be distresses and trials during the day. There may be difficulties, as we will share in a few moments. But if those difficulties and those trials are there for the day, he knows at the end of the day, there is a meeting that he will have with the shepherd, no matter how brief, it will be tender. It will be a sharing of concern, compassion for the life that sheep has lived during that day. Now, I want to look at, first of all, the picture, because David, of course, is the author of the psalm, and he's trying to help us understand the tenderness, the tender relationship between the Lord and himself. Of course, we do not take this literally in the sense that we, as the Lord's people, receive an anointing of oil, or he dips a cup and gives it to us. But we are so much like sheep, and he is so much like the perfect shepherd, that the psalmist David draws out this beautiful picture for us to consider. And it's that kind of idea that will help us not only glean from this particular psalm, but also from many other portions of the Word of God. The meeting is brief, but it is very, very important. You can clearly see the idea that the psalmist David is trying to get across to us. He's trying to teach us as believers, as disciples of Christ, as followers of the Savior. He's trying to teach us to enjoy that intimate relationship with him, the Lord, Jehovah. Now the sheep, let's look for a moment at the picture. The sheep have spent a whole day on the rangeland. They left early in the morning, while the dew was still on the grass. The shepherd has gotten up from his place in front of the door or the opening of the fold. He has called his sheep by name, collectively and individually, and he goes before them, and he leads them out. And he takes them in a big loop around and back to the fold, and they've been out there all day. And during that time, he has not had the opportunity to minister to each one of them. There are those who have found themselves with their wool torn by thorns and briars. There are those that have scampered around the rocks and they've bruised the knee. There are those that perhaps a leg has been injured. But most of all, the hot summer, high up in the mountains, brings out the flies. Flies of a dozen different varieties. And these are a source of special irritation to the sheep. Some seek moisture around the eyes and the nose and the mouth of the sheep. It's like our nest. They don't seem to stay away from your face. But the same thing is true of sheep. And away up high in the valley in the mountain, when the sun gets hot, these flies of a dozen different varieties come out. And they begin to feed on the mucus that is around the opening of the sheep's face, especially the nasal passage. There is a nasal fly that likes to get into the nose of the sheep and will there lay an egg. And when that egg hatches, it hatches a little worm that crawls up the nasal passage and burrows down into the flesh and begins to feed on the sheep and becomes very irritating and produces an infection that can ultimately kill the sheep. So distracting are these flies that they will run to and fro, back and forth. They will shake their head trying to get away from the bugs and fleas and gnats and other insects that torment them day after day. They will sometimes even smash their head against the rock because these flies get up almost into their head. You can see that if that has been the life of the sheep all day, the desperate need for him to come to the shepherd, the oil is sometimes mixed with a tar of some kind and perhaps a medication, and it will be applied to the sheep. How welcome a visit would be at the end of the day with the shepherd. How interesting it would be to just be there and see the shepherd carefully remove the mucus from the eye, perhaps from the mouth and nose, and take an anointing of olive oil and place it over those sores, those irritated places. What a change would take place over the sheep. The sheep who has been running up and down, back and forth, banging and thrashing his head, rubbing himself against bushes and briars and thorns, trying to get rid of this irritation, to finally have the shepherd minister to those knees with oil. He can then lie down in peace. You can see why it says earlier, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Those flies are a source of irritation. How soothing, how healing, how cooling would be this ministry at the end of the day to the sheep who has tried all day to escape those flies and gnats and bugs and ticks that have tormented him all day. That's the picture. There is a prominence then, secondly, this is almost an exact picture of the irritation and the contamination that affects my life and yours. Can you not look back into your own life as a sheep might? And so often the small and petty things that irritate us and annoy us, the frenzy and aggravation of some little thing, we begin to run to and fro and back and forth, trying to get away from that little irritation during the day. So my behavior as a child of God becomes almost exactly like that of a sheep. Have you ever said I'm beating my brains out? Trying to solve some little irritating thing? That's exactly what the sheep does. Running to and fro in total frustration because some little thing is irritating me. If you haven't seen it, I've seen it in you. And you may have seen it in me. Some tiny, tantalizing thing torments me till I think I'm beating my brains out. If you spend a day at work or at school, all the interruptions are irritations. The smallest problem disturbs and upsets and bothers you. It shows up to the world around you that something is desperately bothering you. And they look at you frustrated, without any rest, without any relaxation, say to you, what's bugging you? The picture of the sheep, and it's the picture you and I very often present. The long end of the day is longed for. What a joy to get away from these people at work or at school, and I can get home and rest there. You might even arrive at home and the bottom has dropped out there as well. You need to then go someplace where you and the shepherd can just be by yourself. He can come with his oil and he can anoint you with oil. What a soothing, restful, relaxing experience just to be in his presence. Sometimes we've been in the world and we feel so contaminated. We feel so foul, so defiled, that we've had to walk and listen and work amongst language which just bangs against our mind. We hear conversation and talk and acts that just almost defile us, and we come away from work or school and we say, I just feel dirty. We feel like contact with a godless world is closing in on us. Because we live and march to a different world altogether by the power of the shepherd. We need them to come to those few minutes at the close of the day, just the shepherd and I, to let him look into my eyes, and have him examine my ears, have him check my knees, to see where I have been injured, where I've been hurt, and where I've been defiled. How we need to come to the shepherd for that anointing. We're just like sheep. How great is my need for that daily anointing. That reminds me then of the purpose, because oil is of course a picture of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And we are reminded of the tremendous need. There's a time of conversion when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. He comes and has taken up residence in my life. He lives in me, and He's promised that He will never depart. But as I walk in this world, I get my feet soiled. My wool gathers all kinds of briars. My ears, my legs are bruised and torn. The bugs of society try and attack me and get under my skin. Suck the very life out of me. Though I've received the Savior as a permanent personal possession, I need His special anointing at the end of the day. I need to come to Him in line, as it were, and yet I'm the only one. He and I'm His only sheep. He's my only shepherd. And I needn't wait in line because He is there waiting on me. But because of this defilement and this disease that seeks to overcome me, I need to stand in His presence. I need to be cleansed. I need to be washed. I need to have His oil placed on me. I need that. And I expect you do as well. You know, in the flock of God, that sin and that distraction can grow and multiply. It begins with contact. Somewhere, somehow, some disease gets into one member of the flock. And that then breeds till it becomes a contamination to a few more, and then finally that only spreads until we have contagion. And a shepherd can lose his whole flock because of a little disease from something that disturbed or distracted one of his sheep. I need that daily anointing for sin, because defilement and disease and sin have gotten into my life during the day as I've walked up and down with a godless world. And I realize at the end of the day, I'm defiled. I need His anointing oil. What does the oil remind us of? In Jeremiah, Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3, it says, the anointing is the oil of joy. You know, when you're at work and you're distracted and distressed and there's no relaxation and no rest, there's not much joy either. And when I come to Him at the end of the day and I spend that few moments with Him and He cleanses me, He restores the joy that I perhaps had at the beginning of the day, that I lost somewhere along the way because of those things that bug me. The psalmist tells us it's the oil of gladness. Quoted in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9 regarding the Savior, thou hast anointed me with the oil of gladness above my fellows. One of the things that should be evident in the life of the person who knows and loves Jesus Christ is a real contentment, a real satisfaction, a real relaxation, a real rejoicing in the things of God. Yet as we walk among Christians and follow our feet, follow those who are professing believers, so often the joy and the gladness is gone. Can you not see how desperately needy you and I are to come at the end of the day for cleansing and for comfort? For cleansing, the Holy Spirit brings sin to my life. The Holy Spirit is like the oil, and He brings that sin to my life, and I confess that sin. He is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And what a joy at the end of the day to tumble into bed and know that I have received the cleansing oil of the Spirit of God. and my conscience is at ease. My heart is quiet. In those few moments at the end of the day, I can spend with him until he keeps his promise and says he gives his beloved sleep. Not only for cleansing, but also for comfort. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. And what a joy to bask in his anointing. There is that special anointing which 1 John speaks of for ministry. But this is the joy of the comfort, the oil of comfort, that kind of consolation that is mine. Psalm 104 says, oil makes the face to shine. That's interesting because most of you ladies don't want a shiny face. You've spent a lot of money and a lot of time making sure your nose doesn't shine. But it seems to indicate that what God wants is a shiny face. He wants to shine through our face. Because the face is the index of the soul. Because the face is that which reveals Jesus Christ. It's that area that should shine. It's that area which should radiate the joy of the Lord. We come to him at the end of the day with the oil of gladness, with the oil of joy, for cleansing, and for comfort. While I was in Zambia, I saw a most interesting thing. I stayed with a farmer who had several hundred cattle and several hundred sheep. And every Saturday morning was dip morning. And he would bring all of his cattle in off of his 7,000-acre farm, and he would bring them to this one place on his farm. And his shepherds and his herdsmen would bring them into a corral, and then one by one they would jump off into a deep pit. And in that pit was a pesticide that would do away with flies, lice, would do away with those gnats. And every Saturday was dip morning. He counted them one after the other, carefully making sure that everyone was dipped. And for a whole week, they didn't mind. It released them from the irritation of bugs. It brought them health. And you and I need that same thing. You and I need to come to the oil of God and the person of the Holy Spirit and just immerse ourselves in him. Just let him fill us and flood us and flow through us. It's so important for, in this dipping process, for the head of the cattle and the head of the sheep to get down underneath this dip. And it was 11 feet deep. They would jump and they would completely submerge and then come to the top and swim off. But it was a joy to them. And they came out and shook and they just seemed to, didn't mind at all the fact that this was part of their, it was part of their health and their healing. Same thing is true of you and I. We may rebel at that, but it's for our good. It's for our blessing. It's for our encouragement. We need that daily ministration, but there's a second daily ministration. Unfortunately, some who profess to know and love Jesus Christ go for days without passing under the rod. They would rather stay outside the fold amongst the wild animals and seldom come to the shepherd for that brief meeting that is so important. There is secondly the cup of abundance. And the shepherd David again gives us a lovely picture. And what weariness would take place for the sheep marching all day under the hot sun on top of this tableland. Not every sheep that is injured or sick. There are those sheep that are simply tired. They're thirsty. And they too come at the end of the day and the shepherd inspects them and realize that they haven't been at all cut or bruised. But he looks into their eyes. He looks into their mouth and says, here is a thirsty sheep. So he reaches back and he pulls his cup out and plunges it into the pot. And because the pot is a clay pot that can evaporate, the water stays cool under the hot eastern sun. He will plunge it in and bring it out. An overflowing cup he will place in front of that sheep. He will plunge all of his faith into that. He will receive the comfort and the cool and the thirst-quenching water. Do you see the picture of loving care? Do you see the need at the end of the day not only to receive the oil of gladness and oil of joy, but to realize that my cup runneth over? Can you not see the need that some of us have, the exhausted sheep, hardly able to make it to the shepherd now, because he has received that overflowing cup with water, he can take himself into the fold and lie down and rest for the whole evening. So refreshing. So satisfying. And it comes from the shepherd's hand himself. not from the hireling, not from an under-shepherd, but from the Lord himself. He is there at the close of the day when we feel so defiled, so dirty, so thirsty. He comes there with his cup. You can't help but live in this world and be defiled. You look at the billboards and you are defiled. And it's your mind that takes these things in. You listen to the television, you come back and you feel like you're just dirty because of the garbage that's been poured into your mind. You mean to say that we can live day after day, week in and week out, soaking up the filth of this world, the garbage of our society, the conversation of a godless world around us, and never feel thirsty for a cup of cold water drawn by the Savior himself? If you have no thirst for that, you may not even belong to him. You may not even be his sheep, but walking around with a label on you, I'm a sheep, when in fact, you may not be at all. The day is done, and the sheep can now rest in the wonderful contentment of the presence of the shepherd. He has met their needs. And there is that prominence also in this text. If there is a picture of the cup brought to the sheep, there is also the prominence, because our New Testament is a source of a continual reminder of the need of daily refreshment. As the Bible from one end to the other speaks of oil as a ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Scripture continually uses the word cup to remind me of a number of things, particularly of God's provision. In Psalm 116 in verse 12 and verse 13, the psalmist says, I will take the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful cup? The cup of salvation. And found resident in that great cup that is made available to all. The blessings that are without number, they come from the hands of the shepherd whose hands have been pierced in order to provide that cup of salvation. What a cup to receive from our shepherd. In John chapter 4, and again in John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ told those who were thirsty, come unto me and drink, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and of the Word of God. It's that source of satisfaction. There's not only the cup of salvation, there is also the cup of satisfaction. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it speaks of the cup of blessing which we bless. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's like a cup that is filled for us. And each time we come, it's full. Each time we plunge ourselves into it and drink to the full, to the utter satisfaction, it still is full. It's a cup of satisfaction. Every cup God gives is full. Not only the cup of salvation overflowing, not only the cup of satisfaction, but also the cup of suffering. Our Lord's own cup in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said in those quiet, difficult hours, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I'm reminded as I go through the Word of God time and again, it is an abundance. It is an overflowing. It is a full cup. And the cup the Lord Jesus Christ drank on that day was a cup filled with your sin and mine, with the iniquity and transgression of a lost world. And he drank it. The cup which overflowed with your sin and mine. My cup runneth over. If our Lord Jesus Christ had never taken that cup to his lips, you and I would never have been offered the cup of salvation. We would never would have been offered the cup of satisfaction. Because Christ took the cup of suffering, you and I can receive from his chosen hand a cup of salvation. There is also the cup of sufficiency. It's interesting, as you read the New Testament, you'll find his cup is full. In Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 7, it says, a cup full of consolation. I don't know what you need this morning. I don't know what your particular need or problem or difficulty or distress is. But I can see at the end of the day, there is a desperate need for the cup to be there that will satisfy your particular need. And I can tell you, if you come to the shepherd in those quiet moments at the end of the day, he is there with his cup, and it's full to overflowing. The overflowing cup, of course, suggests that it's going to satisfy others as well, perhaps. What we have is enough, but what we have over is for others. That's the Lord's way of doing it. He fed 5,000 besides women and children, and of the fragments that remain, he picked up 12 baskets full. Everything Jesus Christ provides is more than enough. He provided salvation for the world, but only a few respond. He provides forgiveness for the world, abundantly pardon, he says, but only a few partake of that abundant pardoning from our God. Can you not see that the cup that Jesus Christ gives is a cup that's full? Give and it shall be given unto you, full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's God's cup. Cup of blessing, cup of suffering, cup of sufficiency, cup of salvation. And I must just for a moment say, there is also the cup of his supper. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Let me ask you, have you drunk that cup this morning? He said, drink ye all from or of it. It's his invitation, it's his command. And he invites us to come at the close of the day and to participate in that worship and that adoration of him who died for us and rose again. Finally, there is the purpose of this cup. Each of these cups is to bring us close to him. You cannot enjoy his cup unless you're near him. He doesn't present his cup to someone else and then they take it to you. It's in his hand. In order to drink of that cup, you must come to where he is. You must come to him. And with one hand, I can see him taking that cup and putting it to your face. With the other, I can see him stroking you. I can hear him talking to you. And he does the same to me. At the end of the day, when I'm seeking cleansing from defilement, I'm seeking a restoration of joy and gladness. It's he who anoints my head with oil, rubs it into my sores, satisfies and ministers to my frenzied need, and then plunges his great cup in and puts it in front of me and says, drink. Satisfy yourself. And he talks to me. Of course, the word of God is a description, the water is a description to us of the word of God. How can I bow the knee? How can I lay myself down in my bed without for a moment stopping and talking to him? Spend those quiet moments in restlessness and sleeplessness listening to him and talking to him, drawing upon his great cup. That's what he's talking about. It's the last event of the day for the sheep and the shepherd. And it's one of the most tender, one of the most sympathetic, one of the most intimate times that the shepherd and the sheep have together. Oh, dear sheep, don't pass by this kind of provision from the loving shepherd. It's yours daily if you'll but come to him. And as you enter into his fold, he will minister to you, satisfy you for the night. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you that no matter how weary or how worn, how torn may be our life, at the end of each day, you have given to us our shepherd who is waiting at the door to anoint our heads with oil, the oil of his gladness, the oil of his joy, to give me a deep drink, a satisfying water from his overflowing cup. We think of how many times we stumble into bed without ever having stopped to even think about the Savior. Without having stopped to remember that he is there, waiting, waiting, waiting. We have rejected his ministry and his provision. Father, other times we've had a very difficult day and we've been forced to seek a few moments of peace. Reading your word, letting it soak into our lives, permeate our minds, satisfy our soul. We thank you for David and for his insight into our lives 2,500 years later. Because we are sheep who have gone astray. But now this morning we wish to return to the shepherd